Welcome to Face to Face. It is a joy to have you with us again here for this time. I want to thank you for taking the time to continue on in the study of discipline, The Glad Surrender. We're basing this study on a book by Elizabeth Elliot. And I appreciate so much her different emphases about the matter of letting the Spirit of God control our lives and to give us a genuine discipline over the things that hold us back from really being the people of God that God wants us to be. This week, we're looking at the discipline of possessions. Rosalind Goforth, in her story of her life, about how that she and her husband were led as missionaries to China, she tells of being robbed by bandits of everything they possessed, and she just wept over all that they lost. But Jonathan, her husband, said, "But my dear, they're only things." Well, that's easy to say, but really getting a hold of the truth of possessions in relationship to what's important and also to the preeminence of the Lord in our life, it's a real challenge. And so that's what we want to talk about here today as we look at this matter of the discipline of possessions. So let's just face it. We all like to own things. We like the different comforts of life. And of course, with all the technology we have today and all the conveniences, we're very much aware of owning things and having advertising that gets us stirred up about owning things. And it's always a satisfaction to work hard and earn enough to be able to have something that we can use. And in many ways, there's nothing wrong with that. But getting it into the right proportion, that's another story. And so we have to come to a real place of trusting the Lord about His ownership of our life, His ownership of all that we are able to do and all that we're able to possess. And we need to realize that everything we have really ultimately came from the Lord. The fact that we have life and breath, the very abilities that have been given to us so that we can work, so that we can earn money, so that we can make decisions to handle our money in a way to get things, all of that really is from the Lord. It's not something that we had anything to do with initially. Now, certainly, we can develop our skills and we can make right decisions under God's power that will increase what we have. But the ultimate ability to have possessions truly is from the Lord. And so the first thing that we're looking at in this study is that we must understand that all things are given by God. We know that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, we find in James chapter 1, from the Father of lights. And so everything from the beauty of nature to the health that we have to the things that God has given us to enjoy in our life, it has come from the Lord. In fact, we need to realize that God is our Father. The first person of the Trinity, our Heavenly Father, loves to give good and perfect gifts. It's a wonderful thought. And just like a good human father enjoys giving, and I certainly love to give as a father and now as a grandfather, it's a wonderful thing, so much more does our Heavenly Father want to give. He gives us the beauty of nature, as I mentioned. He gives us the ability to enjoy things. Think of all the different colors, the beautiful flowers, the multicolored birds, the mountains, the sea, the blue sky, the sunsets and the sunrises, and on I could go. He just has made everything so wonderful. And He wants us to freely enjoy these things. I mean, the fact He would not spare His own Son, but gave Him up freely for us all, how shall He not give us freely all things? That's exactly. He wants to lavish good things upon us. So we need to understand that every possession we have ultimately goes back to its origin in God. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he created us, and he gave us life, and he has worked it out that we are in his world, we can enjoy his world, and then through the efforts that we have been given to us by him, that ability, we can then enjoy particular things that he allows us to have. And so if we will realize that possessions are not really ours, we don't possess them, we use them, we enjoy them, we have them. We in this realm, quote unquote, own them, but they're really given to us by the Lord. His name is inscribed on everything. His name is inscribed upon us. We're made in his image. And so it really frees you up to look at life, not from what's mine, but from the fact that I've got a good father that's given me all of this. All of you ladies have worked with children, and you know that little children are constantly saying, that's mine, and they'll cry and everything. A sibling takes something from them, and they're possessive about, no, that's my food, that's my toy. And that kind of urge goes with us through life, that's mine. And when we can honestly say, no, that's God's, everything is God's. He's been so good to me. It's something that is a special privilege from his very hand for me to have it. Ah, that is really a blessing. The second lesson is that all things should be received with thanksgiving. God gives, we receive, and we need to be thankful for what we do receive. We sometimes miss it because God gives things to us indirectly by enabling us to make them with our own hands out of things he has made, of course, as she mentions, or to earn the money, as I've mentioned, to buy them, or somebody else gives it to us. And yet, it is all ultimately from the Lord. And, you know, the more you pray, the more you trust God to give you the daily bread that you need, the more you see the direct giving of the Lord. Now, we're talking in the realm of humanity here, and again, all the abilities for us to get things, it stills ultimately from God. But I just want to tell you, when you pray and specifically ask God to meet your needs and are even very directed in your prayer, and then God provides it, wow, that really helps us understand what a great God we have and how he truly is the one who gives us what we have. And so it's very important for us to take credit when we really have it received as a gift from our Lord. Our abilities, our intellect, the opportunities, they're all gifts from the Lord. Very air we breathe. I mean, who do we think we are? You know, in just one moment, we can have a little accident and we couldn't think straight. Age begins to come on us and we don't have the quickness maybe that we used to have. We need to wake up to the fact that taking credit is the very wrong reaction that we should have. Instead, we ought to have thanksgiving. God has created us. God gave us life. God's been so good to us. He gave us this beautiful world to live in. He's given us health. He's given us the joy of family. And above all, he's given us salvation. And he's given us all of the privileges of coming to him and having our needs met. The Spirit of God who indwells us is a great gift. And he gives us peace and joy and contentment. And so we just need to spend time every day thanking God. Whenever we have a possession and it's a big deal to us, we need to stop and say, Lord, thank you. That's yours. Without you, I couldn't have had that. And Lord, I thank you for that. You got to realize that the Bible warns us, in fact, it's the 10th commandment, and warns us that we ought not be covetous. covetous, this desire to have something, involves suspicion about the goodness and love of God, even his justice. He treats us just right. But we can get into this thinking that this isn't fair. I deserve that. I want that. They shouldn't have it. I should have it. See, all of that is a lack of rest in the goodness of God and his care for us. And I want to encourage all of us to realize that we need to be thankful. Lord, you gave me this. This is good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. And I want to thank you. So these are very important points. First of all, everything's given by God, and therefore everything needs to be part of thanksgiving to our God. Now, this next lesson that she gives here in this book, in this chapter, gets down to the core issue. If we really are going to get freedom in this matter of possessions, if we're going to be truly spiritually disciplined, and that is that things can be the material for sacrifice. God poured out his blessings on us. He gave his very life so that we could have everlasting life. And God wants us to be like him in giving of our very life, the possessions we have, and pour them back into the lives of others. When the great temple was about to be built, King David asked the people to open their hearts and lives and give to the Lord. And the people responded with enormous sacrifice, giving gold, silver, bronze, iron, and precious stones. And David poured out his praise to the Lord about the greatness of God's glory and power and splendor. And the people joined in that praise and bowed before the Lord. And the next day they offered sacrifices of oxen, rams, lambs, and drink offerings. All this was very expensive. But you see, in their love and worship to God and endeavoring to build this temple that would be of great glory to him and bring many people to God, they were willing to sacrifice. And the happiest people on earth are those who understand everything has been given to them by God and that they're thankful for it, and therefore God can do with it what he wants. And that some of the greatest joy is when it hurts, when we are willing to sacrifice something we like, but we do it under his leadership to meet the needs of others. She gives the illustration of Hudson Taylor, founder of the Great China Inland Mission. And once a year, he would sort through everything he owned. And things that he had not used for a year were given away. He believed, according to this account, that he would be held accountable for what he retained. And there was no reason to retain things someone else could use as long as he himself had not needed it for that last year. Well, I would certainly keep our places where we live free of clutter if we had that kind of perspective. But are we really willing to sacrifice? She talks about the matter of being a hoarder and how it's so easy to just hold on to things and want them and to have the different luxuries. And it's so easy to begin to build up possessions. Have you ever noticed that building up possessions becomes a headache? I tell you, you know that when you have to move. And all of a sudden you realize, why did I keep all this stuff? But there's something in us that wants to keep things. And we need to realize that we must not, as James tells us under inspiration, that we who are rich in this world, and we certainly are here in America, we must not be proud, and we must be willing to give. And I'm so thrilled when I see people that are willing to sacrifice for others, who are unselfish with what they have, who could live on a much higher level of standard of living, but live on a lower level because of the giving to the Lord and giving to the things that God has told them to give. And that's the discipline of possessions, where it's under God's control, and we are not bound by having to have those things. And so that's a very important lesson. And then the fourth lesson is that they are given to us to enjoy for a while. True spiritual riches are what really matters. And God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But if we set our hearts on this temporal, ungodly world and think that we have to have these things to have joy and peace, that's a tragic thing. We're going to not be able to take, as you've heard many times, anything with us. There's nothing in a coffin that's going to go into eternity. There is not anything that is going to last that we'll take to heaven with us except our own eternal life and the spiritual growth that God has given to us. And so we need to realize God has given to it for this time, and it's a wonderful thing, but it's going to be gone. And so if God wants us to give it, if God wants us to do without it, well, that's fine, because we're going to do without it. And we're going to have something much better when we get to heaven. Not only the beauty of heaven, we're going to have the perfect relationship with God. And we can have that now, walking with God and enjoying Him and being used of God and having His power in our lives is what life is all about. And the illustration is given of that rich man who was so greedy, and he said, you know, that night he was going to take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry, basically. And the Lord said unto him, "You fool, thou fool, this very night your life's going to be required of you." And so we don't need to store up treasures on this earth, for where our treasure is, there is our heart also. I'm telling you, there is freedom and liberation when there isn't something we have to have. And it's so important that we really do get a hold of the reality that God wants us to enjoy ourselves. God's given us the strength to enjoy life. God wants us to take things temporarily and really see them be a blessing to us. He's such a good God. But that isn't what we are living for. That's not what we're bound for. Possessions possess us. Oh, I tell you, it's a lot of work to take care of a house, and people that have boats and cars, of course, we all have. They all are a lot of work and a lot of money. And so we don't need to have that is what rules our lives. Instead, we need to have the attitude that, thank you, Lord, this is wonderful what you've given to me, but it's yours. It all proceeds from you. And I am thankful that I can enjoy life, but what really matters to me is the spiritual, not the temporal. And that is something that we have to get a hold of and to allow God to really just in our hearts have as our greatest joy being in His presence and walking with Him. That's what should really matter. Now, she ends up talking about the tithe, and she talks about the importance of us acknowledging the fact that all that we have is from the Lord, and we are but stewards, and the tithe of our gross income is that great test on a regular, in a regular way to show that we know that He is in control of all things, that He owns it. And so it's our joy and privilege to give this sacrifice on a regular basis, keeping in mind these very points that we have talked about. And so it's very, very vital for us to really look at what do we have to have? What are we living for? What makes us happy? What gets us up in the morning? What delights our soul? Is it the Lord and serving Him? Or is it things we possess? Now, God wants us to enjoy what we have, but we don't have to have them. And so let's go over the four lessons. Everything's given by God. It's from Him. And therefore should be received with thanksgiving. And God gives us so that we can sacrifice. I've given the illustration. We've had a lot of UPS deliveries and FedEx deliveries recently. But if you were a FedEx driver, here's a box. It's labeled for someone. You're to deliver it. And so you decide instead, since you're the one that's got the box, that you're going to enjoy that box and you're not going to give it to the person whose address is on there. Well, that would be stealing. Well, you see, God gives us a lot of packages for us to deliver, a lot of good things He gives to us with our finances and our possessions. And it's really earmarked by Him for the work of the Lord, for the meeting of needs. And then it's given to us to enjoy for a while, but these are not eternal things. How important that is. And we've got to realize that all that belongs to Christ is ours. Therefore, as Amy Carmichael writes, all that was ever ours is ours forever. Oh, we've got everything in Christ. We don't need anything else. And we've got eternity to enjoy Him. So, ladies, I really want to encourage you. Take to heart this challenge. And though it's wonderful for you to have things, don't live for those things. Be free of them. Thank God. And God will bless you and just give you a liberation in your soul so that you can have the joy of knowing Him and walking with Him, free from the covetousness of this life and the things of this life. May God give us that kind of heart.